As we continue on in our series of 1 Corinthians this morning, let's open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 together. This morning we'll be reading chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we do pray that you would illuminate these scriptures for us this morning. Shine light into our minds so that we might understand your word. For Lord, we know that apart from your grace, apart from your illumination, apart from your wisdom, we cannot know anything. And so we pray this morning that you would give us insight and wisdom into the riches of your word, so that we might live more faithfully as your people. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's been a very well-documented trend in the United States in the last 10 years or so, or maybe a couple of decades, and perhaps you've read about this. There's been a gradual and continual increase in the number of people in the United States who claim no religious affiliation. When asked about their religious beliefs, they either say they have no religious beliefs or they have no religious affiliation. In 2012, there was a survey done by the Pew Research Center that got a lot of headlines because they polled the public and roughly 20% of the American public said that they were religiously unaffiliated. In other words, when asked about religion, they just said no religious affiliation whatsoever. And that was a 5% increase over a five-year period. And now we're five more years beyond that, so you can only guess that the number has probably increased even higher. What's interesting about that trend, though, is that at the same time that trend has been happening, another trend has been happening in the opposite direction. Even though the population of those people who would describe themselves as religious has been steadily decreasing, the population of people who would describe themselves as spiritual has been steadily increasing. That same Pew Research Center poll found that roughly 37% of the American public, when asked if they describe themselves as spiritual but not religious, says yes, that's how they describe themselves. 37% of people said, I am spiritual but not religious. And maybe you've heard that phrase before. I've had lots of conversations with people where we're talking about faith or God or religion, and people will often say, well, I'm a spiritual person, but I'm not a religious person. And I think much of that sentiment, and perhaps the reason why that attitude is increasingly popular, is because in our day, the word spiritual, in my experience, tends to have positive connotations, whereas the word religious, for many people, tends to have negative connotations. When people hear the word religion, they think of theological doctrines and moral absolutes and organized religion, and they don't like those things. But when they hear the word spiritual, perhaps that conjures up ideas of belief in the supernatural or a higher power or maybe belief in prayer. And so many people say, I like those things, but I don't like the other things. I'm spiritual, but not religious. In other words, I'm not interested in organized religion, but I am interested in spiritual things, and I would prefer to explore my own views of the divine and the supernatural. But to me, this whole conversation brings up an important question. If many, many people are interested in being spiritual, the immediate question I want to ask, because I like to define words, is what does it mean to be spiritual? We throw that word around all over the place that spirituality is a good thing or it's good to be a spiritual person, but what does it mean to be spiritual? As I said, I think for many people, being a spiritual person just means being open to things like the supernatural or prayer or a higher power. Or maybe it means looking inward to our own souls to discover transcendent truth. But the Bible gives a very different answer. When we go to the scriptures, we do see that there is such a thing as spiritual truth. Many people wonder, is there spiritual truth out there? Well, the Bible says there is spiritual truth. The Bible says there's not just spiritual truth, but there's such a thing as spiritual people, and that we should seek to be spiritual people. But here's the key. The way that the Bible defines what it means to be a spiritual person is very different than the way popular culture defines what it means to be a spiritual person. And according to our passage today, Paul says that spiritually wise or mature people are those who have received God's wisdom. Spiritually mature people are those who have received God's wisdom. And in this passage, Paul focuses on this whole concept of God's wisdom and how we should understand God's wisdom. And if we don't understand what it means to know God's wisdom, then we will never become spiritually mature people. So what does Paul tell us about God's wisdom in this passage? Well, first of all, he talks about the hiddenness of God's wisdom. If you look at verse 6, he says this. He says, "Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God." What does Paul mean when he says that this wisdom of God is secret and it's hidden? Well, let's start by saying, what does that not mean? And the first thing that that doesn't mean is it doesn't mean that God's wisdom is sort of some kind of puzzle that needs to be solved. I think a lot of people today view God as some kind of puzzle that needs to be solved. And if we can just unlock the puzzle or say the right words or do the right practices, we can discover these mysteries. And that's not what Paul is saying here. It kind of reminds me of back in the 1990s. I'm curious how many people remember this. Back in the 90s, I think it was kind of coincided with the popularity of computers starting to be in everybody's homes. But there was this incredibly popular computer game for a while called Myst. Does anybody remember Myst? Don't be embarrassed. Raise your hand. Myst was this bizarre game where you were a stranger on an island, and you wandered around this island with a book, and you tried to solve these puzzles. I never played it for very long because I was too stupid to solve any of them, okay? But you wandered around this island, and you tried to solve these very strange and elaborate puzzles and kind of mind-bending things and riddles. And as you went along, you would just solve one puzzle, but that would lead to an even more difficult puzzle. And this game was incredibly popular for a while. Now, I think a lot of people view God sort of like that, as sort of some mysterious puzzle to be solved, or spirituality is kind of about solving the puzzles of the universe. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. He's not saying when he says that God's wisdom is secret and hidden, that it's like a puzzle. He's also not saying that God's wisdom is something that is super special and only for the intellectual elite. It's this secret wisdom that only the really smart people or the really sophisticated people can understand. Now, how do I know that? Well, because in chapter 1, we talked about how Paul says that all of the great minds of this world, many of them rejected the gospel. And it's not something that's just for the elite or for the intellectuals or for the academics, but it's for everyone. So he clearly doesn't mean that. There have been some people throughout church history that have believed that. In the early centuries of the church, there was a group called the Gnostics, and they believed that the knowledge of God and salvation was a super secret, special knowledge that only a small group of people could comprehend and understand. And so they had their own little sect of people who were the few chosen ones who could know God's secret knowledge. And of course, they were rejected by the church because that was clearly understood to be a repudiation of what Christ taught. Christ taught that the gospel was for everyone. just for a select few. And so, again, when Paul says that God's wisdom is secret and it's hidden, it's not a puzzle. It's not something just for the elite. So what does he mean? What I think he's referring to here is the fact that knowledge of God and the wisdom of God is totally inaccessible to anyone unless God reveals it to us. We cannot know anything about God at all unless he reveals himself to us. The reason is because God is infinite and we are finite. And a finite creature cannot know the mind of God. We cannot know his thoughts. We cannot understand his ways. We cannot comprehend his character. We can't know anything about God unless he reveals it to us. And so when Paul says in this passage that the wisdom of God is secret and it's hidden, he's talking about how it's inaccessible unless God reveals it to us. Now that alone has some huge implications for how we understand what it means to be a spiritual person. Because if that's true, then that means that spiritual truth or God's wisdom is not something I can comprehend or attain by my own ability. I can't just do the right practices or seek out the right methods and all of a sudden I'm spiritually wise. Because what this says is you can't have any spiritual wisdom on your own. You can't have any knowledge of God on your own. Knowledge of God is inaccessible unless he reveals it to us. But here's the good news. God has revealed truth to us. And that brings us to the second point. Paul doesn't just talk about the hiddenness of God's wisdom in this passage. He talks about the revelation of God's wisdom or the revealing of it. Verse 10, he says this. These things... He's talking there still about God's wisdom. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. So the first point, Paul says, knowledge of God is inaccessible. We can't know anything about God unless he reveals it to us. Now he says, God has revealed himself to us. And how has he done that? He's done that through the Holy Spirit. It's the only way he has revealed himself. Now, why is it that only the Holy Spirit can reveal the mind of God and knowledge of God? Well, he gives the answer in verse 11. He says, for who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Paul's analogy here, very simple. One person cannot know the mind of another person. There's no such thing as psychics and mind readers. All those people are charlatans. One person cannot know the mind of another person. This is good basic 101 marriage counseling advice, right? We're not mind readers, right? We got to communicate with one another because we don't know one another's minds. Now, you might be very close to someone. You might know your husband or wife pretty well and be able to kind of guess what they're thinking or anticipate what they're thinking. But let's face it, you don't ever truly know the inner thoughts of a person. The only person who knows that is that person, the soul or the spirit of that person. So Paul says, if that's true from person to person, then how much more true is that from us to God? We don't know the mind of God. We don't know the thoughts of God. The only person who knows that is the Spirit of God. And so the Spirit of God has to reveal the wisdom of God to us, and he has. Now, once again, that has huge implications for how we understand. What does it mean to be spiritual people? What does it mean to seek out spiritual truth? If spiritual truth can only be revealed to me from God and by the Holy Spirit, that means that spiritual truth is not something I discover within myself. You know, there's a whole philosophy of spirituality in this world that says that spirituality or spiritual truth is found by looking inside of myself, by turning inward and looking into my own soul and trying to find spiritual truth. But that's exactly backwards from what the scripture says in terms of how to find spiritual truth. The Bible says you can't find spiritual truth within. You have to find spiritual truth without. You have to look outward to God because it's only in him that we find spiritual truth. And it's only from him, by the Holy Spirit, that you can access spiritual truth. So spiritual truth is not within me. It's outside of me. It's only in God and can't be known except if he reveals it, and he has revealed it by his Holy Spirit. But of course, many of you are asking a question inside of your heads right now. See, I can read your mind. Many of you are asking a question right now inside of your heads, and that is, well, if the Holy Spirit reveals truth, where do we hear from the Holy Spirit? Maybe you're thinking, I haven't heard any voice speaking to me lately, so where can I hear from the Holy Spirit? And that leads to Paul's third point. Paul talks about the inspiration of God's wisdom. I'll talk about what that word means in a second. If you read verse 12, he says this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Now, there's a bunch of things to look at in these verses. One of the first things we have to ask is when Paul keeps using this second person pronoun, we, who is he referring to? He says several times, we this and we that. Who is he referring to when he says we? Now, if you look at this whole passage, it's a little bit confusing because sometimes when he says we, it seems like he's referring to all believers. In other words, all of us who are in the church, all of us who have faith in Christ. But in this particular instance, in verses 12 through 13, I don't think he is referring to the general public, a general population of believers, when he says we. I think he's referring to himself and the other apostles. And if you look with me again at verse 12, it says this. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. Now, in a sense, that could apply to all believers. We've all received the spirit of God as believers so that we can all understand the things of God. That's true. But as he goes on, I think he's talking about himself and the other apostles, a smaller group, because look at what he says in verse 13. He says, and we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Now, when Paul talks about particular words here and particular words that he is seeking to impart, what's he referring to? I think the answer is that he is referring to the scriptures, which he and the other apostles have written down, that they have written these words down, and they are seeking to impart those words to you and I, to the rest of the church, so that we might know those spiritual truths. And notice that when he and the other apostles did this, what does he say about it? He says that they were taught by the Spirit. Now, that's what it means when we talk about inspiration. The word inspiration refers to the fact that when the biblical writers wrote these words, they weren't just coming up with ideas out of their own head. They weren't just thinking up things that sounded nice. They were actually writing words that were spoken to them and through them by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit breathed God's word out through the authors of Scripture. That's what we mean when we talk about inspiration. And I believe that's what Paul's referring to here when he says they were taught by the Spirit and they seek to impart these words, not taught by human wisdom, to interpret spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. So as Paul says all of this, this points to the doctrine of inspiration. It points to these words were breathed out by the Holy Spirit. But if that's all true, that also means that these words are wholly trustworthy and completely true, and that they ultimately come from the Holy Spirit. You know, many people today are constantly on the search and the quest for spiritual truth, trying to find what is the right method or the right practice or the right system to discover spiritual truth. And Paul says, if you want to discover spiritual truth, first of all, he says, it can only come from the Holy Spirit. And if you want to know where has the Holy Spirit spoken, the Holy Spirit has spoken right here. If you want to hear the Holy Spirit speaking, we don't have to sit in a room somewhere and try to wait on the Holy Spirit to speak to us. The Holy Spirit's already spoken. You know, there's a lot of people today I know who long to hear God speaking to them. They long to hear a personal word from God in their lives. And meanwhile, God has spoken to us. He's spoken right here through his word. And he's spoken so that we can know him, so that we don't have to remain in the dark, so that we can know spiritual truth. It's sitting right here in front of us. And so when we talk about what does it mean to be spiritual people, we have to understand not only that God's wisdom can only come from him and is revealed through the Spirit, but it's written down right here, which means that Spirituality comes from receiving what's written here, and it means that anything that's inconsistent with what's written here is not true mature spirituality. So Paul says the inspiration of this wisdom is key, and the primary way the Holy Spirit speaks to us is through the written word of God. He is, was, and is the author of the Scriptures. Still today, we go to the Scriptures to hear from him. Now, we could stop there, and that would be wonderful. But there's one other piece of this that's really important, and that is the illumination of God's wisdom. At the end of the day, a person could read the Bible, they could have this word from God, and they could read it and not receive it. In fact, there are millions of people today who do read the Bible and who don't receive it. They don't accept it as true, accept it as spiritual truth. In fact, they reject it and say it's foolishness, as Paul said last week. So Paul knows this, and he says in verse 14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. He's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? He says these things are spiritually discerned. We can't discern them or understand them on our own. They need to be discerned by the Spirit. What is he talking about there? We need, in addition to having these words of God, we need the illumination of the Holy Spirit in order to understand the revelation that God has given. When we talk about illumination, we're not talking about the Holy Spirit giving some kind of new revelation or speaking some kind of special message to us while we're laying in bed at night. Illumination refers to us, the Holy Spirit helping us to understand what's already been given, the revelation that's already been received, and that we can understand it and therefore know God's desires. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 15 and 16, he says, the spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When a person becomes a believer, we only have the Holy Spirit living within us. We have Christ living within us so that we have understanding. And part of the work of the Holy Spirit is not only to open our minds to receive Christ in the first place, but to give us continual illumination so that we can understand what is written here in the Scriptures. You know, this is why when we come to God's Word, we have to read it prayerfully, because if I read this and try to understand it based on my own wisdom, then I'm trying to understand the things of God based on my own mind. I need the Holy Spirit to help me understand the things of God, the things of the Spirit. You know, there's a number of places in the Bible that talk about this. One of the ones I love is in Luke 24. After Jesus is resurrected, and there's several stories where he's appearing to his disciples and having interactions with them, and in Luke 24, there's one place where he sits down, he has a meal with his disciples, and he begins talking with them about the Scriptures, and this is what he says. It says, then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Isn't that interesting phrase there? They had the Scriptures before that point. They had read the Scriptures before that point. But apparently, their minds had not been fully open to understanding the Scriptures at that point. And so Christ opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. That's what we talk about when we refer to illumination. Another verse that Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Without the illumination of the Holy Spirit, our minds remain in darkness. It's sort of like if somebody gave you a Bible and said, here, read this, but then put you in a room of complete darkness, well, it wouldn't be much good to you, would it? You can't read in the middle of a pitch black room. So you'd have the truth, but you couldn't read the truth because the light would need to be turned on in order to shine light on it and to illuminate it for you. Well, the same thing is true with the Spirit. We have the Scriptures, but we need the illumination of the Spirit to guide us and to instruct us daily so that we can understand God's Word, so that we can follow His Word in all areas of our lives. If the statistics are true, and I think that they probably are, the quest for spirituality will probably continue to increase in our day. I think many people are hungry for something that's missing in their life, and they sense that perhaps spirituality or spiritual things are what they are missing. Problem is, a lot of people are looking in all the wrong places. And the Bible says that there is such a thing as spiritual truth out there. It says there is such a thing as spiritual people. In fact, the Bible calls us to be spiritual people. But not spiritual as the world defines it, but spiritual as His Word defines it. Spiritual wisdom comes from recognizing that we cannot know anything about God unless He reveals it to us. The first step to being a spiritually wise person is to recognize, I know nothing and I can't know anything about God on my own. That's the first step towards wisdom right there. Spiritual wisdom means recognizing that it can only be revealed to me and recognizing the good news that it has been revealed by God's Holy Spirit and that the primary way that God has spoken is through the written word and through the gospel. Spiritual wisdom means receiving that truth into my life and constantly submitting my life to the illumination of the Holy Spirit so that I can know God's wisdom and so that I can know who He calls me to be. This is who we are called to be. So my prayer for each one of us this morning, let's be spiritual people, but let's be spiritual in the way we see it in God's Word, because this is the only path to true spiritual maturity. Let's pray. Father, we give You thanks. We give You thanks that You have not left us in the dark. But You have revealed Your truth to us by the Holy Spirit, through the authors of the Scripture. And in these written words, Lord, we have Your truth, which has been passed down to us from generation to generation. And it's still the only path to true spiritual maturity. Help us, Lord, each day to not trust in our own understanding, but to turn to You, recognizing that You are the only way we can have spiritual understanding and wisdom. Lord, help us by enlightening our minds and shining light in the dark places where we still have darkened thinking. We pray that if there's anywhere in our minds where we continue to have darkened thinking, that You would shine a light there and help us to turn to You, to turn to Your truth. And Lord, we pray this morning that ultimately, You would use us as reflectors, as reflections of Your light and Your truth into a world that is in desperate need of truth. Help us to share with this world the knowledge that it is only through Your revelation that we can know spiritual truth and be truly spiritual people. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.